Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 21st of March, and recording at 8:12 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, Asia was mixed. The ASEAN sector quite firm near its highs, and we had China up a little bit, but the Nikkei, Hang Seng, and Australian markets were down a little bit. We're talking about small, very small percentage moves. Things are quiet. The best move on the day in Asia was a decent bounce here today by India. In Europe, markets mostly closed a little bit lower. The biggest decline was the Swedish market, down 1.44%, but off a high. And most of the other markets were, or most of the other declines were much, much smaller. UK flat, as was the DAX. And in the Americas, now Wall Street slipped a little bit, not in the NASDAQ, which was up a fraction, but the Dow's down 45 points and the S&P down 2.63, but that's less than 0.19%. Long-term government bond prices, however, firmed in here today. The long bond is up over a point as I speak, but that's been quite a decline. You remember it was mostly in the mid-140s, low to mid-140s range, and it's currently 136.26, and that's after a good day here today. In currencies, the US dollar index is a fraction steadier. Euro slipped very slightly. Sterling must be firmer. Well, not much, just a cent. And in precious metals, a quiet day here. Gold is currently trading at $16.49. That's down a dollar and change. And that's fairly typical of what we're seeing. Silver's probably done best, has done best. Currently at $32.16. That's up 32 cents. In the industrial metals, again, mixed activity. No big movers. In the grain and bean complex, soybeans are firmer in here today, but corn and wheat a little easier, as is rough rice. And those are probably the main highlights. I see sugar is a bit easier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we have quietly steady, mostly ranging action within what looks to me very much like a consolidation phase. Now, it's also a consolidation that looks consistent with the cyclical bull market that we've been talking about. We first started venturing a thought that that's what lay ahead back in October, and I mentioned it almost daily subsequently, or certainly towards year end and so far this year. So really it's all about how we're dealing with these short-term overextensions relative to the 200-day moving averages, and also a matter of, are we going to get away with just a quiet period for a few weeks, possibly a few months, in which earlier gains are digested and people watch and wait and see what sort of news developments are going to occur? Or are we going to revert to more of the risk-off type environment that tested our nerves last year, when everything was either going up or going down very sharply in those whipsaw churning moves? Well, as I say, it's been pretty steady action so far, and that's consistent with an overall bull trend. Also, one of the things I look for is that we haven't seen any significant failures. I'm not aware of any stock markets coming back down much below their 200-day moving averages. India has probably done that, but it's still sitting on decent gains for the year. Remember, first 2 months of the year, India had the best gains, except for Egypt, would you believe it? And it was up over 30% at one stage, given back maybe a third of that. And what we have also seen is a number of stock market indices have actually pushed a little bit higher. Again, that's nothing significant to the upside, but gradually. And among the big caps, it's very much technology to the fore, and none more than the mighty Apple, which is overextended, as you know, but it's not shown the sort of succession of downward dynamics to check this momentum beyond a brief pause. As I've said before, when you get a downward move by Apple that is clearly bigger than the two very small reactions that you can see so clearly, small equal sized reactions that you can see on the daily chart within this year's move to the upside, then we will be able to judge that the momentum has changed and that most likely that mean reversion and consolidation is taking place. Again, as I say, so far that's been a stellar performance overall. And this has been very much a tech bull move. And I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before, but what is abundantly apparent to me is that with a number of tech companies providing some decent dividends now, IBM, of course, among them, and then Apple coming out with a reasonable dividend of 1.8% on the recent announcement, that does put the spotlight on some of the other tech companies that are doing particularly well. And I'm thinking of Google, most of all, and I notice that that's firmed up, and it would hardly be surprising if people were beginning to discount a dividend from Google, and I suspect that's fairly inevitable as well. So we've had this leadership coming from the tech sector, and tech is of course always an important indicator that we look for, because tech so often tends to lead in both directions. And I don't think, for instance, that we would see more than shallow reactions. I don't think we would see a genuine correction without the tech sector losing upside momentum and commencing mean reversions towards the 200-day MAs, where they're a little bit oversold. Okay, moving on to government bonds, where we had seen prices for the futures get those very sharp reactions. That created short-term oversold condition, and we're likely to see some rallies back up towards or just under the overhanging top areas. That's what I'm hoping for, at any rate. I actually did had some orders in the market and triggered a baby steps short in JGBs, and I've got more sell orders overhead to increase that position if the market rallies a little bit further, as I hope. And it might well do that, but I think it'll only be a technical rally because the evidence is quite strong that we've seen an important turn here in bonds overall. Now, among commodities, and an ongoing concern of mine always is that I regard commodities, and I've often described them as one of the next opportunities following corrective phases, but also destined to become one of the next big problems. And what I'm referring to is, of course, when we get those surges across the board, surges in commodities to the upside. One of the worst ones we saw took place in 2000, first half of 2008. And we also had quite a surge in the first half of 2011. Well, interestingly, they're not doing that this time. You're familiar with the firmness of the oil price and gasoline prices, petrol prices, but we're not getting an across-the-boards move yet. And as a matter of fact, that continuous commodity index that I refer to quite frequently has eased back. Now, I think a fair amount of that is due to a lack of speculative activity or a reduction of speculative activity in many of these commodities. And that is also partly due to to talk about China and its slowdown and how China is not importing commodities at the same frenzied pace that we've seen in previous years. I think that's good news overall for this tech-led global bull market in equities. And as long as commodities stay quiescent, that will help to keep inflationary pressures under control. And certainly the gold price at this stage is helping to keep inflationary pressures under wraps a little bit more than would otherwise be the case. Or put it this way, they're not flaring up to the same extent, except where there are distribution problems and bottlenecks and expensive subsidies which need to be reduced. You see that in India and other parts of Asia, for instance. As for gold, it's quiet in here, as you know. We're still in this lengthy medium-term corrective phase. And what gold needs to do, and it's got those two lows, I think they were in October and also in December, around the $1,525 level. We will need to see a clear evidence of a higher low, similar to what stock markets did back in December. You remember we had the big surge upwards in October for stock markets, then a sharpish pullback in November, and then in December we saw the rally resume. So we'll need to see a clear evidence of a higher low for gold and other precious metals before we can conclude that that the floors that we saw are significant. Now, failing that, if we continue to dribble down, then we go back into a retest of those former lows. And I can't be any more precise than that at this stage. But I still see my inbox filling with bullish reports on gold and gold shares. And my answer to that, or my response to that, is to say, well, it is going to be bullish again, but maybe not just yet. So it's still a watch and wait at this stage. And that's pretty much it. Roll on tomorrow, see what that brings. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.